We are at the end of another year, and this is the last Lord's Day of the year. And as we come to this time, I can't help but ask a couple of questions. One of the questions has to do with the Christmas season. And the question is, why do so many people who have heard the story of the coming of Christ not see the glory in it? I'm really amazed that that's the case. But even as I look back at that Christmas season with that question, I have another question. Looking forward. Looking ahead. And the second question is this. How are you going to grow in Christ in this coming year? How is it that you are going to see the glory of Christ and follow Him? I think the answer to both of these questions is found in this particular passage of Scripture, which is before us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 4, 5, and 6. So I again draw your attention to this particular passage of Scripture. And in verse 5, we find the message that we are to preach. Look at verse 5 again. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know how many ministers have been accused of this, but I know I have. I've been accused of preaching myself, preaching Denny Prudeau. I dare not do that. None of us dare preach ourselves. The Scripture here plainly says, for we do not preach ourselves. And sometimes we unfortunately fall into that trap. We dare not preach our denomination either. Most of us are Reformed Presbyterians, not all of us, but we dare not preach our denomination. I think that's one of the clear implications of this particular text. At one time, I was privileged to be on a committee, a denominational home missions committee. This was while I was in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And I remember very plainly a discussion at that committee meeting in which funds were to be denied a mission work. And the reason the funds were going to be denied the mission work was that the name of the denomination was not plainly on the signboard in front of the church building. I think that's an unfortunate kind of mindset. We do not preach ourselves, Paul says. And I think we have to get that message. But, and the word but here is very, very strong. But, he says. Again, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus. This is the one whom we are to preach. We all know that this is the case. We are to set forth Jesus Christ and Him crucified, as the Apostle Paul tells us. We are to say to men and women that this Jesus, who was born of a virgin, who did suffer under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, who died on that cross to pay the penalty due to people like us for their sins, that this Jesus was raised again from the dead. And we serve a risen Lord. And you notice what Paul says here. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. You know, there's a controversy in the church today. It's called the controversy of Lordship salvation. And there are those who are saying in the Church of Jesus Christ that it is not necessary for us to preach Jesus as Lord. We need only speak of Him as Savior. Is it really necessary to serve Him as Lord? You know, people are asking that question. Golly, I'm a Christian. Do I really have to serve Jesus? That kind of a question seems strange to our ears. But that's the kind of a question that's being asked by individuals today. We preach Christ Jesus as Lord. That's the message. And the Apostle Paul says forthrightly in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's no easy believism here. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord. That is the way of salvation. And the Apostle Paul is very forthright about this message. And it's interesting the contrast that he then draws in verse 5 again. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. What about you and me? Servants we are. Slaves we are. Paul says that we ourselves are your bondservants. One of the significant points in my own Christian life came several years ago when I read the 2-volume biography of George Whitefield by Arnold Dallimore. Couple of thick volumes, and it's good reading. If you haven't read those books, you ought to read them. The thing that really struck me in that biography was this, that George Whitefield, after preaching to thousands, would go back to his room and fall on his face and utter words something like this, Lord, would you be pleased to use a humble servant like me? I don't know if any of you have been in Philadelphia around Independence Hall, but that's one of the places where George Whitefield preached. And you can see one of the balconies there from which he spoke. And Benjamin Franklin calculated that 30,000 people were in earshot of George Whitefield when he spoke. Can you imagine that? They didn't have microphones and that sort of thing in those days. And this man would go back after preaching to thousands like this and cry out to God, God, would you be pleased to use a humble servant like me? That got to me. And I really had to begin to search my own heart about this whole matter of being servant. That's what Paul says that we are. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Well, the message is clear. Jesus Christ as Lord. And this message, dear friends, is a glorious message. It is a glorious message. Please look at verse 4 with me now. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The gospel message is light. The gospel message is a great light. Psalm 119, verse 105, speaks about the Word being a light and a lamp, a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. The gospel is a great light, and the light of the gospel is a glorious light. In verse 4 again, Paul speaks of the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Christ and the gospel are very glorious. And here's where I come to one of my questions. The questions about the Christmas story. It's an amazing thing to me that many do not see the glory of this story. J. Gresham Machen, in a book, I believe it was called Christianity and Liberalism, makes this statement that men and women are changed by telling a story. And that's the truth of the matter. That the story of Jesus and His coming, when it is told, has the power and the glory to change the lives of human beings. It's the story of Jesus coming from heaven and glory. And leaving that glory and being born in a very humble circumstance as a baby in a manger in a cattle trough. What a step down. I really don't believe that we understand how far a step down that actually was. And when Jesus Christ was on the cross, He suffered all the torments of hell itself. And so in a real sense, we can say that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, stepped down from heaven into hell. What a step! And when He cried out on that cross, my God, why have You forsaken Me? The presence of the love and the mercy of God was taken away from Him. And all the agony of hell was experienced by Him. You know, those of us who trust in Jesus Christ, Paul says, have a wonderful position. Because we can say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great thing that is. That's part of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, that's the message, but it's amazing that this message is not accepted. Why? Well, look at verse 4 again. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. The answer given by Paul is that these individuals do not see. Their minds are blinded. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's what I think it means. It means that they don't see the glory of the gospel. They don't see the beauty of Jesus Christ. They get the facts. They hear the story. And there's been a lot of people in this past month who have heard the story of Jesus. But they see no beauty in it at all. And Paul says that their minds have been blinded to the glory of that story. You know what our reaction to this is sometimes? And I think this is really devastating. We think in our own minds and hearts that because individuals are blinded and don't see the glory of the gospel, there's no sense in us giving them a Bible to read. There's no sense in our talking to them about Jesus Christ. There's no sense in our giving them the facts of the gospel. And that is devastating, dear friends. That is absolutely devastating to the process of evangelism. The problem is not that they don't get the facts. The problem is that they don't yet see the glory of those facts. And there is a difference. There is a great difference. And you must understand that distinction. And I must understand the distinction. Let me try and put it this way. couple of weeks ago, I was in Pittsburgh. And, you know, in the city of Pittsburgh, when you look up into the sky, you can see the stars there. But you really don't get the full impact of it all. I was talking in the seminary chapel about this, and one of the fellows there said, yeah, you have to go to Kansas. Well, you don't have to go to Kansas, but the point is that all those man-made lights, the glitter of all those man-made lights in the city, act as sort of a veil through which you have to look, and you can see the stars out there, but again, you don't get the full impact. When you go out of the city and you come to Kansas and you're out on a piece of farm property and it's a cold, crisp night and you look up, what do you see? It's almost like you can pick those stars out of the sky. You really get the impact. You see the glory of it, of the heavens. It's kind of like that with the gospel. You get the outline of the gospel there. You get the facts. But the impact of it, the glory of it, is not seen. And that's how it is with a lot of people. So why should we preach? Well, let's look at this text again. Verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why should we preach this message then? The very first word in verse 6 is because. It's not translated that in most of the English versions, but that's really what the verse or the word is. Because. Why should we preach this message? Because. Paul is saying, listen, because God, the Creator, the Father of lights, the one who said, let light shine in the darkness, the one who uttered those words and brought about light itself, because God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one, this God, who is the Father of lights, who is the Creator of all, is the one. He's the one in the end with whom we have to reckon. He's the one who has shone in our hearts. You know what the heart is? The heart is a very dark place. The human heart is a very dark place. The Puritans used to say that if you lift the cover off the human heart, you looked into the pits of hell itself. As I was thinking about this in preparation for this morning, I couldn't help but think about the producers of movies like the Friday the 13th series. You know, these people, their hearts have to be filled with all of the evil that comes from the pit of hell. The heart is a very dark place. And the wonderful thing that Paul is telling us is that God, who said, the light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who is shown in our hearts. Now, why would God shine in our hearts? For a very important reason. To give us illumination. What's the problem? The problem is that people do not see the glory of the gospel. The light of the gospel is not seen. And so God comes along and He shines on that body of knowledge to enlighten it so that we can see the beauty of it. That's what takes place. I think most of you have a bulletin, don't you? Take your bulletin if you would. Because on the inside of the bulletin, I typed out this text which is before us. And I'm giving you in verse 6 a little more literal translation. See on the inside of the bulletin where it says sermon text, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts for illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That's a literal translation. Why does God shine in the human heart? For the purpose of illuminating the knowledge we have gained through a reading, a studying of the Word of God. That illumination must come for us to see the glory of Christ. It works like this. How many of you are photographers? Any of you photographers take pictures? Nobody? Okay. One or two of you. You have to develop the film, right? You have to develop the film. When you take the picture, the image is on the film. When the picture is taken, when you click that shutter, the image is on the film. In other words, all the facts are there, but you can't see them, right? You can't see those facts that are on the film. The film has to be developed by immersing that film in certain chemicals, and when you do so, the picture comes forward and you see the picture that was taken. It's like that with the Word of God. How many times have you heard a parent say, well, it's very important that we teach these kids the Scriptures, that they memorize the Catechism for Young Children, that they memorize the Scriptures. Who knows what God will do with those words that were memorized? Exactly. When those Scriptures are in the mind, God may come along and illumine those Scriptures so that the beauty may be seen. What a wonderful thing that can be. So what's the answer to our first question? Why don't people see the glory of Christ? They're blinded to that glory. They don't see the light. And God needs to come along and shine in their hearts. Dear friends, you know what you need to do? Do you know what I need to do? We need to pray for people like that. We need to pray, oh God, come with the light of your Spirit and illumine your Word so that men and women see the glory of Christ. We need to pray that. And I hope that this year, you'll pray like that for your friends that don't know Christ. And at the same time, give them a Bible. Tell them to read the Gospel of John. Talk to them about Jesus and pray. Pray. And here also is the answer to our second question. How are you going to grow this year, and how am I going to grow in Christ? You know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to study this Word. Study this Word. And at the same time, we need to pray, oh God, show me the beauty that's there. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things from your law, from your Word. Every time we study the Word of God, every time we're together to look into this wonderful Word, there's opportunity given for God to illumine our hearts to see the beauty in it. Will you commit yourself this year to a renewed study of the Word of God? Will you do that? I want you to pray for me, because I'm doing that. I need that. I really need that. And we all need, dear friends, the God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," to come and shine in our hearts, to illumine the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Will you pray for that too? If you do that, there's every probability that in this coming year, you are going to grow in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this Word, your Word. Forgive me, Father, where I err in setting it forth. Use it, your Word. And, O God, be pleased to give us your Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts to see the glory of Christ. And we pray for men and women around us in the world who do not know Jesus. We ask, O God, that as we are bold to give them Bibles, to talk to them about Christ, that you'd be pleased to come along and enlighten their hearts, to give them the light so they can see the beauty of Christ. Do that, we pray. And in it all, we trust, O God, that you'll cause us to grow in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.